Today, Shirin the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Vav. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Max Aframowitz, Mordechai then Aaron Leib. All the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin at the two dots about 15-20 lines down from the top of Vav Omer Aleph with the words Tana Rabban. We quote a Brisa. The Brisa says Tana Rabban, Nochri Shenichnas L'Chatzeru Shal Yisrael. If a non-Jewish person walks into a Jewish person's yard on Pesach, ubitzeko biyodo, and he's carrying with him chometz. He has a piece of dough that is chometz in his hand. So what is the Yid supposed to do? So ein zokuk levar. The Yid doesn't have to force the non-Jewish person to please leave his yard. He's allowed to let him stay over there with the chometz. Rashi explains, lo hizkiku lahotzi es hanochri min habayis. You're not forced to make the nochri leave your possession, you leave your house. Because it's based upon the psukim that we learned that says, L'cha, you're not allowed to have chametz. However, you are allowed to have a non-Jewish person have chametz in your house. As we'll see, as long as you have no achrayis, as long as you have no responsibility for that chametz. Ein zogit levar. Hivkido etzlo, however, if the non-Jewish person has deposited with you, and Rashi says, critical words, v'kibel olea achrayis. You have accepted upon yourself responsibility for this chametz. If it gets destroyed, you have to pay for it. Kidum forish va'ozil zokuk levar. As we will explain, if in this situation you have accepted upon yourself such responsibility, so then you are obligated to ask him to please leave, and you're not allowed to have it over there in your house. So that's what it means. If kidu etzlo zokuk levar, or yiched lo bayis. However, if you gave him just a place and say, you can put it over there, but it's yours. I'm not responsible for it. As Rashi says, Kloma, lo kibel olo av achrayis. He didn't accept upon himself achrayis. Elo amale, he just told the non-Jewish person, sure, if you want to put it over there, you can. Hariya b'ayis l'fanecha. We're good friends. You can put it over there. Hanach b'yachas min azov. You also can place it in one of the corners. Then, ein zokuk levar. He doesn't have to go and ask the non-Jewish person to please take it out because he hasn't accepted any responsibility for it. And this is all based upon the pasuk. Shnemar, lo yimotze l'cha. You're not allowed to have any your chametz over there. However, acherim, from a non-Jewish person that you don't have responsibility for, you're allowed to. Now the Gemara asks, my ka'amar. Hechi yalef, Rashi says, mi lo yimotze. Lo yimotze is a negative and says you shouldn't have. How do we learn out over here that you're not mechoyev to burn it? So that's what the Gemara is asking. My karma. Some Rav Papa will have two terusim over here. Rav Papa tells us, Arei Shekoy. This is going on the first thing that we said, and Vahachi karma. This is how you have to explain it. If Hivkido Etzlo, if the non-Jewish person deposited with you and you have taken a chrayis on it, then Zokuk Levar. You have to get rid of it. You're not allowed to keep it over there. Shenemar Lo Yimotze. Here's where the apostle says, Lo Yimotze L'chot. You aren't allowed to have chametz that you're responsible for in your possession. And that's Rav Papa's answer, that this statement of Shenemar Lo Yimotze is going on the first statement, which says you are obligated to get rid of it. You have to ask the non-Jewish person to take it back. It's his. You can't take responsibility for it. That's teretz number one. So the Yimotze is a good answer because it goes on the first statement, which says you are obligated to get rid of it. Zokuk Levar. Rav Ashi understands it, however, differently. Rav Ashi Amar, lo olam ha-sevikoy. No, you can learn this, the words, shenema lo yimotze, even goes on the second part. So how is this a kula that was saying, ein zokuk levar, and you're bringing a pasuk that seems to say that you have to be mevar, you're not allowed to own any. So the Gemara says, lo olam ha-sevikoy. Rav Ashi says, it is going on this last statement. V'achi kamar, this is where you have to read it. If yiched lo bayis, if you told him, you can put it over there. You have this corner to put it in, but it's your responsibility, ein zokuk levar. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Shenemar lo yimotzi b'vateichem v'ha lav didehu." Because the pasuk says, "You're not allowed to have it in your house." But in this situation, when you're miyachid him a corner, that's his corner, and you're not taking any responsibility for it, and it's not considered in your possession. The nachri ki koma ayel, because when the nachri brings this chometz into your house, leveisa de nafshei koma ayel. It's as if he's bringing it into his own house, because all he has done, so to say, is acquired that space from you, but it's not your space and it's not your chametz. He is still responsible for it and he's been given that space to use, and therefore it's not your responsibility because lo yimotzi bevoteichem, you haven't found any chametz in your house, in your space, in your achrayis. More questions, this last statement, it says, l'meimra d'schiris kanya. This seems to say that a rental acquires something when you're meyached this corner for this non-Jewish person, so it's as if he owns that corner now. In other words, it's as if he rented it from you, and a rental agreement is the equivalent of ownership. Is that really true? Gemara says, well, not. But there's a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that says seemingly the opposite. It says, even where af b'mokum shomu lahaski, even where you're allowed to go and rent a place to a non-Jewish person, let's say Rashi says, for example, in the first paragraph of Azor, he says, "Nan ein maskirin batam l'nochem be'eretz Yisrael." In Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to. Avol b'Suria maskirin, but there you're allowed to because we're concerned that they'll bring Avodah Zarah into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you're not allowed to rent to them over there. But in Suria, where it's not as strict, you're allowed to. The koshkin b'chutz l'aretz, in any place outside Suria, outside Eretz Yisrael, is certainly allowed to. But even the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says, "Af b'mokum she'tiru laskir," even where you are allowed to rent them space, we still are concerned that they'll bring Avodah Zarah in there. And therefore, lo lebeis dira hitiru, Rashi says, you're not allowed to rent them a place to live in. You're only allowed to rent them a place, el hamid b'behemos, to put their animals in, the eitzim, or to store wood, v'lo sheyidor hubazeh, because in this situation, we're concerned that they're going to bring in Avodah Zarah into the house. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. But welcome shalom lahaski, even when you're allowed to rent it to them, lo lebeis dira amu b'mnei shemachnisin l'socha avodah skilulim. So in other words, even though you're renting them a place, it's still considered as if it's in your possession. So over here, these sokadaitach siris kanye, if you're telling me that siris is really acquiring the space for them, so ki koma ayel, if he goes and brings in avodah zara, lebeisei dinafshei koma ayel, why should there be a problem? If he's rented it from you, if you've been miyached him that place, either for money or through just granting it to him, so if it's considered his, so then he should be allowed to bring in avodah zara there. What does it bother you? From the fact that he's not allowed to bring in Avodah Zarah, even in Chutz Laretz, it means that the Schiris is not really Kanya, and therefore it's still considered yours. So to over here, with the Chametz, even though you've designated him a place, it's like Schiris, but it's not Kanya, and therefore it's considered as if it's in your possession. And it is Yimotze Bevateichem. How come you're allowed to do this? So Gemara says, no. Shiny Hochi. Here, over in our case, of the Batzik, it's different. Why is that? The Afke Rachmona Beloshon Lo Yimotze, because B'davka, the Torah said, you're not allowed to have it, lo yimotze. It means, misha motzui biyotcho. It has to really be yours. Even if you hold that tzchiris is lav kanya, and it's not a full rental, it's not a full ownership, nevertheless, yotzuzeh, shino motzui biyotcho. It's still not in your possession. It's still his. And therefore, when you don't respect responsibility for it, even if you hold that tzchiris is lav kanya, and that there would be a problem with the avodah zara over there, but with chametz, there isn't a problem based upon the lashon of the pasuk. Lo yimotze bevateichem, yotzuzeh she'eino motzui biyotcho. It's not really present in your hand. Our Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the Gemara continues, says Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says the following din: hamotzi chametz bebeiso biyontif. What happens if Rechman Slan, a person finds chametz in his house on yontif? So what should you do? Kofe all of it's a kli. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav tells us that you put a utensil over it. Rashi explains, because you're not allowed to move it because it's muktzah, the chametz is muktzah. And that's why, you can't go and move it and take it out. However, but you're not over by your own matzah. Why not? Because you did bitul. We're going to learn, and we've already mentioned, that in addition to doing the bedikas chametz, you also have to do a bitul. So why do you have to cover it up over here? El mishum shelo yishkach v'yochlenu, tzorech kifiyas kli. Because you may see this delicious piece of cake over here, you have a nice wrapped piece of cake that somehow slipped in between the cushions of your couch, and all of a sudden you stick your hand in there and you bring it out and you say, oh, this is delicious, and you're going to be over the din of owning chametz on Pesach. So you have to kofa all of the kli, you have to put a kli on top of it if you find it. Amar Rava, Rava says, im shel hekdeshu, however, if this beautiful, delicious piece of chametz belong to Hekdesh, so then this din doesn't apply. Eino tzorach. You don't have to go and cover it up. Why is that? My taima, mivdil bedile mine. Because all year long, you're used to not eating Hekdesh. As Rashi says, afilu b'chol, even during non-Pesach, during regular year, lomadhu lifrosh rimenu. A person is very careful about staying away from Hekdesh items, because that's a big isser to go and take something from Hekdesh that's me'ila. So we're not concerned if it belongs to Hekdesh that you'll eat it on Pesach, you'll forget yourself, because all year long you don't eat it. As opposed to a nice, delicious piece of chametz that's chulin, so all year long you do eat it, so we're concerned that you'll forget yourself and you'll eat it on Pesach. So there's no concept of mivdil bedile mine for regular chametz, but for Hekdesh there is. Very similarly, Amar Yehuda Maravi says another thing. Chametz Shonachri, similarly, if the chametz belongs to a guy, Oslo Machitza Asar Tvachav Mishum Heker. Here we're talking about not that you find it on Pesach. When you find it on Pesach, you don't have a choice, as we pointed out. It's Muktzah, so you can't make a Machitza. So therefore, we just put a Kli on top of it. You overturn a pot on top of it. However, if you have this chametz in your possession, it's not really yours. It's the guy's chametz. For example, all the chametz that we sell to the guy, it's in your house. So you have to make a mechitza, asar tvachim. That serves as a real reminder. As Rashi says, b'arbasar, before Pesach. So let's say the chametz that you sell to the guy. And you have to make a mechitza mishum heker. So it's a real physical reminder. Shlo yishkach, you won't forget, and open up the drawers, v'yochlenu, and you'll go and eat it. V'lo sagile b'kviyas kli. Here, it's not enough that you just put a kli on top of it. It's not enough that you just cover it up. But you need a real mechitz over here, because if you just cover it up with a kli, ha-kli nital litzorach, you may forget yourself and say, oh, I need that pot. And you'll take the pot away, and then the chametz will be there. Omiyu, how dileh lo efshaleh b'mechitza. But we were talking about when you find it on Pesach itself. You can't put a mechitza because you're not allowed to build mechitzas on Pesach. And therefore, it's only one day. It's only the day of Yontif. And therefore, we say in that situation, kfiyas kli would be adequate. However, Rashi points out, v'layla, as soon as Yom Tov is over, yivarenu, you have to go and burn it. You can't be satisfied, well, I have a kli on top of it. And likewise here, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's adds, and he says, v'im shel hekdeshu, however, if this was chametz that you have in your possession before Pesach, that is from hekdesh's ownership, so then, ein osarach, you don't have to go put up a mechitza. Again, why not? My taima, mivdal bedile in sheminei, because all year long, you're very careful not to eat it, so there's no concern that you come to eat it on Pesach. Another statement that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, "Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, ha-mifareish v'yotzi b'shayara." If somebody leaves his house, he goes out with a caravan. He's leaving his house before Pesach, so it depends when. If he leaves kodim shloshim yom, if it's more than 30 days before Pesach, ein zokus levar, he doesn't have to do bir chametz, because, as we'll see, there's no concern that he's going to use that chametz on Pesach. However, tov shloshim yom, but if he leaves within 30 days, zokuk levar, he's already starting to think about the yontif, and therefore he has to go and get rid of any chametz that he has in his house. Omar Abaye qualifies this and says, no, hod the amris tov shloshim yom zokuk levar, that which we said, that if you're leaving within 30 days, you're obligated to do a biur, that's only lo amorin elo shedaito lachzor, that's only if you're intending to return. Therefore, there's a concern that you're already thinking of chametz, you have to go get rid of the chametz. So a person's going away, he's not planning on coming back. So Abaye says, in this situation, ein zokuk levar, you don't have to go be mevatelit, you can just do a bitul, and then there's no concern that you'll find it, shema yimtza gluska yofa on Pesach, because you're not going to be there. Amalei Rava said, I disagree. He says, vi dato lachzor, apilu mirosh shana nami. He says, no, if you're intending to come back, so then, even if you left by Rosh Hashanah time, 6 months before Pesach, you still would be obligated to do a bir chametz, because you could come back. Therefore, Rava says, this is the way to understand this statement of Yehuda Amar Rav. Elo Amar Rava, he says, that which we said, Hodamis, Kodim Shloshim Yom, Ein Zokuk Levar, if you're leaving more than 30 days before Pesach, then you don't have to do a biur. Lo Amar, we only said that, Elo She'ein Dai to Lachzor, if you're not planning on coming back. But if you are planning on coming back, of a Dai to Lachzor, even if you're leaving 6 months beforehand, you have to do a biur. Only if you're not planning on coming back, then does the 30-day or more leaving allow you not to do a biur. But Ozdo Rava Lutaime, and Rava is consistent with what he said previously. What did he say previously? The Omer Rava said, Osa Beso Otsar, if somebody makes his house into an Otsar. Rashi explains, in this situation, what is he doing? That Hichnis Shom Tvua, V'tachtel Chometz. He put Tvua into a place where underneath this Chometz. And we're going to learn on Dav Ches, or meaning, come on, Chometz Shinofla Olav Mapolis. If you have a building that collapsed and you have it covering up Chometz, Harehu Kemavur. That is considered like it is not yours, like it has a destruction to it, like it's been taken care of, because you can't access it on Pesach. So Rava said, if you in fact made your house into this storehouse where the chametz is covered up with non-chametz items, so if you did this, kodim shloshim yom, ein zokuk levar, if you did this more than 30 days beforehand, you don't have to do a biur, you don't have to get rid of this chametz, but toch shloshim yom zokuk levar, but if you did it within 30 days of Pesach, you do have to be mevayir. And even then, the kodim shloshim yom nami, even when we said before 30 days, you don't have to be mevayir, that's only lo amorin elashin daito lefanoso, if you're not planning on clearing out the the non-chametz stuff on the top so that the chametz on the bottom is accessible. I will die to lufano. So if you're planning on using the stuff that you put in on the top and it'll be all gone by the time Pesach comes around, so the chametz at the bottom is accessible, so then in that situation, then in that situation, you would be obligated to do a biur, to go get rid of the chametz. Where did they come up with this 30 days, now the Gemara says? Hani shloshim yom, mai avisayu. Where did they come up with this 30-day concept? So this is a famous rule, Kidatanya, we learned in the Braisa, Shoalim, Bedorshin, Behilchos HaPesach, Kolim HaPesach Shloshim Yom. That a person has to go and start learning the halachos of Pesach. This applies as well, according to most poskim, to the other Yom Tovim as well, and possibly even to other days like Hanukkah and Purim. That's a big, interesting discussion, but certainly by Pesach, this is where we learn it out. Shoalim, Bedorshin, Behilchos HaPesach. You have to go and ask about the halachos, learn about the halachos of Pesach 30 days before the Chag. That is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. He says only 2 weeks. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer shtei shabosos. He learns out only 2 weeks beforehand. We'll see in a moment this machlokis as based upon the psukim. And this is the machlokis, the 30 days of the Tanna Kamma, is where we get the 30-day idea that you're beginning to think of Pesach in the 30 days beforehand, and that's where that 30 days comes into play. The Gemara says, what's the reasoning behind each of these two shittos? My time of the Tanna Kamma. What is the reasoning of the Tanna Kamma? We turn to the other days. Tanna Kamma says, Shari Moshe Rabbeinu, Omed BePesach Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klai Yisrael about the Korban Pesach. It was on Yud Dalad Nisan, Omed BePesach Rishon. And what did he tell them? Umazra Pesach Sheni. The people asked him, what about we who are Tomei? What should we do? So he told them, don't worry. You'll have a chance to become Tor, and you'll be able to bring on Pesach Sheni, 1 month from now, your Korban Pesach Sheni. Shenemar, as he tells the people, Vayasu v'nei Yisrael es ha-Pesach b'mo'ado, you shall make the Korban Pesach at its right time. And it says, Usev, ahi anashim asher yutmeim l'nefeshodem. But the people that were Tomei, they weren't able to go bring the Korban Pesach on Yud Dalid Nisan, so they were allowed to bring it on Yud Dalid Iyar. They would bring it on Pesach Sheni. Now, from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about this din on Pesach Rishon for Pesach Sheni, which is 30 days away, so we see that you have to start being Shalom and Darshan about this din 30 days beforehand. Oh, that's where we have the source for the Tanna Kamma to say the Shalom and Darshan, the Fnei Achag, Shloshim Yom. Tosfos points out, but they asked him a question. So how is this a raya? So Tosfos answers and says, well, they could have, when they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what should we do? He could have said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. You'll be okay. But he didn't have to tell them that 30 days from now, you're going to bring a Korban Pesach called Pesach Sheni. And therefore, the fact that he specifically mentioned that it was Pesach Sheni, even though they asked him a question, that still is a good answer. What does the Tana Rav Shimon Gamliel say, who said 2 weeks? What does he do with this? He says, No, since they're dealing with Pesach Rishon, so he happened to tell them, Masik Lahu, Lachomila the Pisra. So he told them, all the halachos of Pesach. If you can't bring a Pesach on Pesach Rishon, so then you bring a Pesach on Pesach Sheni. But not because you're learning out over here, Shloshim Yom Lufnei Achag. What is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's reasoning for 2 weeks? My time of the Shimon Gamliel, the more says. So he says, Shahari Moshe, Omeid B'Rosh Chodesh. Because when Moshe was standing on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and telling the people that you better go get ready to go bring a Korban Pesach, Umazir ala Pesach, he told them, Shinemar, HaChodesh Hazeh Luchem, Rosh Chodoshim, right, the Parsha Bo, where it starts telling us about the concept of Rosh Chodesh, and it starts telling us that you're going to have to bring the Korban Pesach. So he told them, Uksiv, Dabru al Kol Adas Yisrael, on Rosh Chodesh, he tells them, go and tell all of Klal Yisrael Leimor, the following, Be'asor LaChodesh Hazeh, on the 10th day of this month, you will go and take the Korban Pesach, each of you will go take, for each family, for each unit that's making the Korban Pesach, that's when they'll go take the Korban Pesach. They'll watch it for 4 days, they'll check it for 4 days, show the mitzvah that we're not afraid of you, we're taking your God, and then on Yudala they will shecht it. So that's a 2 week period of time, from Rosh Chodesh until Yudala, it is 2 weeks. So this is when Moshe Rabbeinu warned them or taught them about the Korban Pesach, so therefore that's where you get the Shalom Adarshim 2 weeks beforehand, not a month like the Tanna Kamma. Shmuel says, how do we know this was on Rosh Chodesh? How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to them on Rosh Chodesh? Where do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in front of them on Rosh Chodesh? Maybe Dilmah bi'arba bi'archa. Maybe it was on the 4th day of the month. Oh, b'chamisha bi'archa. It was on the 5th day of the month. The Yaivitz brings down a very interesting idea. he explains the Gemara. Why did it say the fourth or the fifth of the month? So he said that Rosh Chodesh that year was on a Thursday. We know when they left Mitzrayim. So it was Yud Nisan was on a Shabbos. So Rosh Chodesh was on a Thursday. The eighth of the month was a Thursday, and the ninth was a Friday, and the tenth, we know that Yud Nisan that year was Shabbos HaGadol, and that's why we have the custom of Shabbos HaGadol, which is related to what day it was that year. Yud Nisan was Shabbos. In any event, the reason why the Gemara says over here, maybe it was on the fourth day of the month or the fifth day of the month, because if Rosh Chodesh was on a Thursday, so then the second day of the month was Erev Shabbos, the third day of the month was Shabbos, and they wouldn't be talking about the Gula on those days, because Mashiach isn't going to come on those days. And therefore, Mistama, the first chance that Moshe Rabbeinu would have had to talk about it, would have been the fourth or the fifth. That's why they're saying maybe it was the fourth or the fifth of the month. Interesting idea from the Yavetz. In any event, that's what the Gemara is asking. How do you know that it was on Moshe Chodesh that Moshe was talking? Maybe it was on the fourth or the fifth of the month. So you're right, the Gemara says, El Omar Rabba Barshimi, Mishmei the Ravina. So Rabba Barshimi said the name of Ravina, Mehocha. This is how you know this, from the following pasuk in Bamidbar, where it says, Mehocha, by Dabar Hashem Moshe, Bibidbar Sinai, the Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klai Yisrael in the Midbar, Bashana Hashenis. Now here we're talking about, it was in the second year, Bachodesh Rabishon. So it was in the second year, now in the Midbar, and it was on Rosh Chodesh Harishon, Bachodesh Harishon, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Uksiv, and it says, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael es ha-pasach m'wodo, and he's telling them to go make the Korban Pesach 2 weeks from now. There we know, it says, B'feirish over here, Bashon HaShenis, Bachodesh Harishon. So that's what we see, they talked to them about the Korban Pesach, which was 2 weeks away. That's really the source. Shmuel says, Hochanami, imay d'rei sh'achar koi, doma b'yarbo b'yachar, o b'chamish b'yachar koi. Wait a second, it doesn't really say it was on Rosh Chodesh. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to them in the second year, Bachodesh HaRishon. It doesn't say on the first day of the month. So how do you know that it means the first day of the month? Similarly, maybe it means on the fourth or the fifth day of the month. So the Gemara says, no, here we know that it was on Rosh Chodesh. Because here we have proof. Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, because it says, Asya Midbar, Mi Midbar. We have Xer Shav over here, the word Midbar, by Dabar Shem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai, and we have the word Midbar elsewhere, Ksiv Hocha B'Midbar Sinai. Here it says B'Midbar Sinai. Uksiv Hasan, it says elsewhere, earlier in the Chumash, earlier in B'Midbar, it says, Uksiv Hasan, V'Dabar Shem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai B'Omwe, B'Echod L'Chodesh L'Sheni. Here it says specifically that it's talking about B'Echod L'Chodesh L'Sheni, on the first day of the second month. So just like over there, it's Rosh Chodesh, Ma'al Halim Rosh Chodesh, so too, Avkan Rosh Chodesh. Now this is interesting, because the first pasuk that's mentioned over here in B'Midbar is talking about the Rosh Chodesh of Iyar. And the second pasuk that is mentioned in Perek Tes is talking about Rosh Chodesh of Nisan, which is earlier. So the Gemara is going to say, how come you mention the later occurring pasuk in Perek Aleph, the very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, you're talking about the Rosh Chodesh of Iyar, and then you're going back in time, when you go to Perek Tes, you're talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that's what the Gemara now asks. The Nichtov Bereshah, the Chodesh Rishon, the Hadar Nichtov, the Chodesh Sheni. Why doesn't Perek Tes come first, which deals with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then Perek Aleph should come after that? And that deals with Rosh Chodesh of Iyar. Why is the order out of order? So the Gemara says, I'm Ramanasha bar Tachlifa, Mishmei the Rav. Oh, this is to tell us a very important principle. Ramanasha bar Tachlifa says the name of Rav, Zosomeris. This comes to teach us a general major rule that ein mukdam u'me'uchar b'Torah, that the Torah is not a history book. The Torah is not there to tell us this event happened first and this event happened next and then this happened and this happened. That's not what the Torah is for. The Torah is telling us how to run our lives. The Torah is telling us the blueprint of being successful yet. And lav dafka, is it going in order? And we have this famous rule, ein mukdam u'me'uchar b'Torah. Just because Perek Aleph comes before Perek Tes doesn't mean that the events of Perek Aleph occurred before the events of Perek Tes. In fact, in this situation, Perek Tes is dealing with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Perek Aleph is dealing with something that happened later on, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Rapop explains this further, and he says, Lo Amarin, we only say ein mukdam u'me'uchar b'Torah ela b'trei inyani, when you're dealing with two different inyanim. Rashi explains, b'shtei parishas. You're dealing with two different parishas over here. In the same parisha, you can't say the pasuk aleph occurred after pasuk beis. But when you're dealing with two different parishas, like here, perek tes, perek aleph, so yes, they can occur, ein mukdam u'me'uchar b'Torah. However, he qualifies, he says, avo b'chad inyana, but in the same inyan, in the same parisha, My demukdam mukdam. So yeah, chronology does take a role. Whatever is in Pasuk Aleph is occurring before what happens in Pasuk Beis. My demucha mucha. And the later occurring events occur in later psukim. Because the lo tebahachi, if you're not going to say this, then you're destroying various principles of darshaning of the Torah. Because if you're not going to say that mukdam and mucha do apply within the same parsha, then how would you ever learn a klal uprat? Klal uprat, which normally is ein b'klal elamash b'prat. You have the general statement, the klal, and then the prat specifies it. The prat tells you, no, don't learn it the way you just did as a klal, but it's only applicable in the following specific situation. So that's based upon the order, that the klal came first and the prat came afterwards. So if you're going to tell me that there is ein mukdam or muhar in the same parsha, so then ein b'klal elamash b'prat wouldn't apply, because dilma prat uklalu. Maybe the prat comes first and the klal comes afterwards. So it must be that there is mukdam u'muchar in the same parasha. Furthermore, so the exact opposite also, prat u'klal. If we have the rule that normally if we say a prat and then we say a klal, so the klal comes to give us a much more general statement than the specifics that the prat mentioned. So again, normally we say prat u'klal, nasa klal, musaf ala prat, that the klal comes to expand upon the prat and makes it much more general. But that's only because the prat came first and the klal came afterwards. If you're telling me that there's ein mukdam u'muchar, even in the same parasha, dilma klal prato. How do we know the prat came first and the klal came afterwards? Maybe the klal is first and the prat is afterwards. So therefore, that's why he says in the same inyan, there must be mukdam and mu'uchar. It's only in different inyanim that we say ein mukdam u'muchar b'torah. Mor says, but if that's true, ihachi afilu betray inyani nami. But wait a second, then even within two different inyanim, where you're saying ein mukdam u'muchar b'torah, you'd have a problem, because there is a mandiyama that says that you can have a klal uprat even if it's two separate inyanim. So what you're saying, that in the same inyan there is mukdam u'muchar, the order is important. It's only in different inyanim that the order is not important, ein mukdam u'muchar b'torah, so that works out great, only according to one mandiyama. So this works out great. According to Man Yom, it says only within the same inyan do you have klal uprat. But if you have different inyanim, you don't have the rules of klal uprat. Oh, that works out well with your theory that mukdam u'muchar applies only in one inyan, but it doesn't apply when you're dealing with different inyanim. Oh, ein mukdam u'muchar b'torah in different inyanim. Therefore, there's no klal uprat when you're dealing with inyan one. And then the klal is in inyan 1 and the prat is in inyan 2. You're right. Maybe the prat comes before the klal. That's why, according to this man, the Yomar, that you don't have klal prat. If then the ruchokim zemizeh, it works out fine. But there is a man, the Yomar, that disagrees with that. Eleman, the Yomar, the Amar Danyin, that we do say klal uprat hamruchokim zemizeh, is a good klal uprat. So then, how are you going to ever learn that? Ein mukdam u'muchar b'torah. Michael Amar, what are you going to say? Because maybe it's not a klal uprat. Maybe it's a prat uklal. Because ein mukdam u'muchar b'torah. Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Afilu l'man d'yomar donin, even according to man d'yomar, it says, you can make a klal uprat, hamiruchokim zemizeh, that is allowed. So even though you can do that from one parsha to another parsha, and it's still called a klal uprat uklal, you still can say ein mukdam u'muchar b'shtei inyonim. Because hani mili b'chad inyona. That's only true when you're dealing with one inyan. I will betray inyanim ein donim. So even this man, the armor, holds that for a klal uprat uklal, it has to be within the same inyan. For example, if you have something in the Aseres Hadibros in the Parshas Yisro, and then you have the Aseres Hadibros in the Parshas Voetz Chanan, it's the same inyan. So even though it's far apart, that's where this man, the armor, says you can have klal uprat hamuchokim zemizeh. I will betray inyanim, but it's far away from each other in two separate inyanim, so then even this man the Yama says ain donim, and therefore even this man the Yama can hold ain mukdam u'muchar b'torah b'shtei inyanim. Now I'm review the Marav, another statement from review the Marav, habodek tzorok shivato. We had previously and said that you must do a bedikas chametz on the night of your dalid. So he says even though you did a bedika tzorok shivato, afterwards you must do a bittul. So we've already discussed this outside, now we'll see it inside. My time, well, what's the reasoning that even though you did a bedika, so you can say, I know there's no chametz in my house, you still must do a bittul, how come? So Gemara says, well, maybe you're going to tell me, inema mishum perurin, because you know what, there's still crumbs behind you. You do a bedika chametz, there still might be crumbs. No, that can't be the reason. Halo chashivi, that's not considered significant. That's not considered something that's important, something that's chashav, that you would go and have to say that I need to do a bittul for these crumbs. No, you're going to tell me, maybe it is. The chitema, that it is considered chashuv, it's considered significant. Why? Because I locked the doors of my house. Given the minta luhu, since my house is a shomar dika place, my house is watched, my house is guarded, and therefore, since I close the door to my house, it is considered that these crumbs are considered significant. So kivan de minta luhu, agabese, since these crumbs are watched, because when I lock the door of my house, the crumbs stay inside and they're watched, and therefore, halachli chashive, and that's why I have to do a bittul, even though crumbs are insignificant in and of themselves, but since I lock the doors of my house, it turns them into something that's choshuv, that's not true. But Tanya, learning the braisa, sofe teinim. Rashi explains that sofe teinim are the unripened teinim, the figs that are left on the trees that never were really ripened. They're considered something that's not important. Rashi says, she'ena mizbashlos kol tzorchen olomis. They're never going to fully ripen. So these are really the dregs of the te'enim. There's not really much there. However, you're still guarding your orchard over here, u'mishamer sodeyu b'bnei anovim. You're still keeping a watch on your field because you still have grapes over here and you want to protect those grapes, so therefore you're also protecting the sofe te'enim. Or vice versa. You have sofe anovim. You have the grapes that are left on at the end of the field, and they're not going to be worth much. They're also shelo yizbashlo olomis. Those that are left on the tree at the end aren't really worth anything. They're never going to really ripen. However, you're still protecting your field. Meshamer sadeo mimnei mikshos. You're still protecting your squash. Mikshos are squash. Mimnei delos. These are various types of gourds, pumpkins, or other things like that that are still in the field. So therefore, the sofe and ovim are protected because of the mikshos and delos. So the braisa tells us, bisman shabala bayis makbid aleihem, if in fact you are makbid, that you want those items, either the sofe teinim or the sofe and ovim, so then they are considered choshev asurim mishum gozel. They're yours, you want them, and if somebody were to take them, they would be stealing from you. And since you want them, chayavim b'maiser, you have to take off trumas and maisers from the sofe te'enim and the sofe anovim. That's because you have made them choshuv because you're makbid on them, not because you're watching them, but because you want them. However, even though you're watching the field because of the squash or the gourds, bisman she'ein balabais makbid alim, but you don't really care about the sofe te'enim or the sofe anovim, so then, technically, they're not really yours. And mutar mishum gezel, if somebody were to take them, they wouldn't be chayiv gezela. And if you want to eat them, you don't have to take off trumas and maisers. Mutar mishum maisa, because it's as if they're hefker. It's as if you don't care about them. They're not chashuv. So you see here that even though the field is watched, because you're watching because of the mikshos and the deluyim, so the field is watched, but we don't consider them significant unless you're makbid on them. So too the crumbs. If you consider the crumbs significant, of course you'd have to get rid of them and do a bittul or destroy them. But just because they're watched, they're not considered significant. So that can't be the reason that you have to do a bittul after you do your bedika. So Gemara says, Taki, you're right. Amarava, the reasoning is, we've said this many times already, Gezeiro Shema Yimtza Geluska Yofa. You're going to find a nice, delicious piece of chametz in the middle of Pesach. Medaite Ilave. And your mind is going to be on it. As Rashi says, Chashuva hi b'einav, it's now significant. V'chos olei l'sorfe, you say, "Ooh, this is such a delicious piece of cake. I hate to burn it." Umasha afilu rega echad, and you're going to keep it, so to say, in your mind, in your possession for 1 second, even before you realize, no, it's chametz. I have to get rid of it. V'nimtza over alav by your bar by your matzeh, and for that second, you're going to be over by your bar by your matzeh. However, if you did a bittul, avol shemimishem a bitla, ain't over. When you did a bittul on it, it's not yours. The low cost of Elo Tashbisu. Because the pasuk says you have to destroy it. And you've destroyed it by doing a bittul. So therefore, even though it's physically in your possession, in your house, but it's not yours. And therefore, the bittul will work. That's why you do the bittul. Shema Yimsa Gluska Yofer. Because you may come to find a Gluska Yofer. Now, Tosa says over here, V'dayti Lave. It means Pirush, V'lo Botel Me'elov. Kimo pirurin, it's not bottle in your eyes like the crumbs. And he questions Rashi. He says, why is Rashi saying over here, V'dayt lovei shechosol el batel? Why is Rashi saying that you have mercy on it, you don't want to get rid of it? He says, because you weren't mevatel it. If you weren't mevatel it, so then it is considered yours. That's why you must do the bittul. So Gemara says, why do you have to go mevatel it at the time that you do the bedika, like we pointed out? V'chi mishkachas le levatel. No, when you find it on Pesach, so be mevatel it then. Why do you have to mevatel it at the time that you do the bedika? When you say any chametz I know about, I don't know about, is not considered mine, ki after the ara. Why do you have to do that? Wait till you find some, and then be mevatel on Pesach. So Mori says, Dilma, you know what's going to happen? Mishkaches lo lebasar isura. You're going to find it after already it's also to own chametz. And therefore, by definition, the lav birushusei kaima, it's no longer yours. You're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach, so it's as if halachically it's been taken away from you. The lo motzi maftil, and you're not allowed to go and be mevatel it when it's not yours. Where do we see this from? The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar taught us, shnei dvarim einam birushusei shalodim, two things aren't considered halachically in a person's possession. Nevertheless, the asah nakos of kilu birushusei. So, from a negative point of view, it is considered like it's yours, and you'll be responsible for it in a negative way. Elohim, what are these two things? A bor birushusei rabim. The person digs a hole in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, you can't own something in the Rishus HaRabim. You don't have a right to dig a hole in the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, it's not really yours. However, as Rashi says, Haposeach, if you open up a bar in the Rishus HaRabim, Chayav bin Ezekiel, if somebody falls into it, you're Chayav for the damages of bar. Even though the Ein HaBar Shalal, technically the bar doesn't belong to you. El Shel Hefker, it belongs to nobody. It's Rishus HaRabim. Shari Rishus HaRabim who? However, the Afal Pi, Rashi says, Shekarohu, even though you dug it, you can't acquire it in the Rishus HaRabim, but at the same time, you are responsible for any damages. So the Torah says, even though you don't own it, we're making you chay for it. So too also, this is the critical point for us right now, the chametz, mishei shos lamala, is no longer considered yours, because it's also for a year to own chametz after the 6 hours of your dalit, meaning from chatzos and onward, it's an issa daraisa, it's a lav daraisa. However, it's considered yours in terms of being over by your rabbi Yimotzei. And therefore, it's not yours that you can be mevatel it. You can only be mevatel something that belongs to you. But you will be over it. And therefore, you must do the bittul before chatzos. We do it before the start of the sixth hour because we the rabbanon, we made a geder. But that's why you have to do the bittul while it's still halachically yours. You can't do the bittul when it's no longer halachically yours. Even though you're responsible for it, and you're chayiv for owning it, but you can't be mevatel it. Gemara says, okay, so why do you do the bittul when you do the bdikas chametz? V'nivatle b'arba, v'nivatle b'chamesh. So go be mevatel it at the end of the fourth hour when you're no longer allowed to own chametz according to Rav Yehuda, or after the fifth hour when you're no longer allowed to own chametz according to Rav Meir. Why do we say do it the night before? Gemara says, no. Kivan de lavzman isuru, because in the fourth hour or the fifth hour of the day, it's technically not yet the time that it's also to go and own chametz. So a person can say, I got plenty of time. The lavzman biuru, and it's not the time that you're actually destroying it, which is the sixth hour. So therefore, dilma pasha v'lom avatale. Therefore, we're concerned that a person is going to forget himself. As Rashi says, yishkach, you're going to forget, you get caught up in something, it's Erev Pesach. The other de pshia, you're going to be negligent. Shayde ma yizokha, because there's nothing to remind you. But therefore, the rabbi said, when you do the bedika chametz, when your mind is on bedika, so then you'll remember and you'll do the bittul. That's why the rabbi said, do the bittul at the time that you're doing the bedika chametz. Right after you finish the bedika chametz, do the bittul. We turn to the Yomar Aleph. So then, v'nivat le'bishesh. Go and be mevatel at the start of the sixth hour. If you're doing it at the start of the sixth hour, as Rashi says, Lisaknu Rabban L'cholodim Livata Belibo B'tchilo Sheish. At the very start of the sixth hour, Tahashta Lo Posha. Now you're not going to forget because you have something to attach it to. The Iko Zikar and Tuva Shari Osuk B'srivasuk, because that's when you're burning the chametz. So when you burn the chametz, now you have a built-in hecker. So go and do the bittel at that point in time. Someone says, no. Even the Surah Darbanan Lavi, since it's already awesome in the Rabbanan from the start of the sixth hour, 11 to 12 in our idealized day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., so then at the start of the sixth hour, 11 o'clock, that's when the Issa Darbanan kicks in for owning chametz, and that's when he's supposed to burn it. So therefore, kivan di sur derabbanan ilave, so in this regard, kidoraisa damya, it has the same halachic status as if it was daraisa, which means v'lav birushusei kaima. We mid the rabbanan consider it no longer in your possession, just like after 12, it's no longer halachically in your possession for anything that you can do about it to be mevatelet. It's only in your possession for the negative. So to over here, to lo motzi mevato, you can't be mevatelet at the start of the sixth hour when you do the bir chametz. Where do we see this from? The Amar of Gidol, Amar of Chiyah Bar Yosef, Amar Rav. Rav Gidol said the name of Chiyah Bar Yosef, the name of Rav. Hamekadesh Mishay Shos Lamala. If you were to be Mekadesh a woman with chametz after the sixth hour of the day, so is this worth anything or not? You have to give a woman a shavah pruta. So if you give her chametz after the 6 hours of the day, afilu b'chitei kurdinaisa, even if you're giving her these very hard kernels, Rashi explains, hatsomchim b'hari Ararat, these are kernels that grow on Mount Ararat, and caution him, oh, they're very, very hard, afilu hachin, they don't easily become chametz, nevertheless, in choshishin likidushin, we don't say that you're giving her this is going to be mekadish the woman, in bo aleim mayim, if they had water coming upon them, so they're chametz, even though it's very hard for them to become chametz, even though it's only in the 6th hour that's also midi rabbanon, umafka kiddushi Torah, and this din the rabbanon that it's chametz, even though it's very hard for it to become chametz, this din that it's considered chametz applies in the 6th hour of the day between 11 and 12 of Yud Dalet Nisan midi rabbanon, and therefore this woman who you were makadish on a daraisa level, v'sharei eishes ish liabo, we don't consider her married to you; she go married to somebody else, and we don't consider her that she's a married woman. Aye. Midaraisa, she is married. So the Rashi explains to us in many places, when you're a Mekadesh, a woman, it has to be in a way that the rabbi says acceptable. The Hefker, Beisdin Hefker. We have the famous rule that Beisdin, when you Mekadesh somebody, has the ability to uproot the fact that this is yours. So therefore, when you're giving her this Chiti Kur Diniaisa, in the 6th hour of the day. So the rabbi said that this is not yours. And therefore, the Hamif Kiru Mamono, and this woman isn't considered Mikudeshes. And therefore, that's the power of the rabbis. So therefore, in the 6th hour of the day, we view this as if it was Daraisa, not yours. Just like the Rabbanon, they made their dinim Ke'en Daraisa, and therefore you can't be Mevatalit in the 6th hour. That's why you have to be Mevatalit at the time you do the Bedika, so you have something to connect it to. Shemor says, really? You really can't do this after the Zman of the Isser? For Tanya, Hayoshi Beis HaMedrash, V'nizkar She'esh Chometz V'soch Beis, so if you're sitting in the Beis Medrash, and you remember you have Chometz in your house, now, when you're sitting in the Beis Medrash, V'nizkar She'esh Chometz V'soch Beis, so Mevatol B'libo, you can do a bitul in your heart, and this is true, whether you're sitting in the Beis Medrash, Echad Shabbos V'Echad Yomtiv, you're allowed to be Mevatol your Chometz. Now, how could this possibly be? Bishlomo Shabbos, Mishkachzo, we can understand how you can be sitting in your house and own Chometz, because, you know what, it's Erev Pesach Cholios V'Shabbos, like this year, Erev Pesach is going to come out on Shabbos. Your Dalit is Shabbos. So therefore, you're still allowed to own Chometz at that point in time, but you're in the Beis Medrash, and you're allowed to do a bittul from the Beis Medrash on the Chometz, because it's still considered in your possessions before 12 o'clock. So Bishlam is Shabbos Mishkachzo. We can understand that. Kigon, our year this year, Shol Erba also, Lios Mishabbos. Erba Pesach Shol Lios Shabbos. But Yontif, how could that possibly be? Ela Yontif, Bosari Suruho. If it's already Yontif, how can you be Mevatel it? We just said that you're not allowed to be Mevatel something if it's after the noon of your dalit, because you don't own it. So therefore, how could you possibly be vatalist? How could this Brisa tell us that if a person's in his house, in the Beis Medrash, on Yontif, that he can be mevatalist chametz? How could that possibly be? Basri suru. It's after Zman of Isser. So more tells a fascinating terrace. Amar Vachar Yaakov, you know what we're talking about over here? Hocha the Talmud Yoshev L'nei Rabba Waskino. We're dealing with a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe. And it's not yet chametz. The Nizkar Sheyesh Esau Megogelis Besok Beso. He realizes that he has a dough that's been sitting. It hasn't been sitting long enough to become chametz. But if he continues to sit by his Rebbe in the Beis Medrash on Yontif, it's going to become chametz. Umis Yoreh, he's concerned. Shema Tachmetz. So what should he do? He could leave his Rebbe and go home and bake the dough, and therefore it won't become chametz, because when you bake it, it doesn't become chametz. But then he has to leave the Rebbe. That's pasnish. That's not right. So therefore, kodim umavatalei mikamei de tzachmetz. So he does a bittul on this right now. He says, this dough is not considered mine. So if he gets back to the house later on, and he sees that the dough turned into chametz, so then it wasn't his dough. Baruch Hashem, he was mevatalit. And I'll show you that this is right, the Gemara says. This isn't just a daichak teretz over here, that he has a dough in his house that isn't yechomet, and it's on yontif. That's what we're talking about. No, daikonami, look at the words carefully. Why did the Brisa say, diktani, hayyoshe besoch beis hamedrash? Why did the Brisa have to tell us that he was sitting in the beis hamedrash? Ah, for the fact that it tells us, Madavki, he was sitting in the beis hamedrash, that's exactly the chiddush. Otherwise, it would have said any place. Shema mina, that is a very good raya. With this, we conclude today's shir.